AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
God can't bless who you pretend to be or who you compare yourself to. He can only bless you in the lane that was created for you.
I feel that for somebody.
You don't need no edge entity. You need boundaries. What?
I don't need your likes. I don't need your validation. All I need is a God fighting for me that says all things, all things, all things.
Child. Hey girl, hey, we are back this week and I cannot wait. We have so much more empowering conversation to share with you. You know, one of the things that I love about this week's theme is that we are maintaining our hope for consistency as it relates to holding ourselves accountable. I already know that if you are like me, then you've had some start and stop, some stop and start and some just cycling back and forth as it relates to so many of your goals. Maybe it was a podcast, maybe it was your health and wellness journey, maybe it was therapy, opening up, getting spiritual. We often find ourselves struggling to keep ourselves consistent. And so this week we want to talk about what type of accountability is connected with us keeping ourselves consistent. Well, I will have to tell you that one of the things I am learning as this year has played out, which by the way, has been the year where I have been most consistent with my working out and eating out than I have ever been. You know what I think the secret is? I think it has little to do with me just having this magic pill of willpower and everything to do with me finally no longer having a goal. So any other time when I started the year, I always set a goal. I wanna lose 20 pounds. I wanna lose 30 pounds. That means I started with an end in mind. I wanna start the podcast. Usually when we think about starting the podcast, we mean like one or two episodes. And so we started with an end in mind. My mindset has expanded to not start with an end in mind, but to simply get comfortable starting. What if we saw everything as us just beginning, us introducing this new way of being? And I'm rolling my eyes because all of the girls have been telling us it's a lifestyle and I didn't want to accept it. But guess what? I guess it's a lifestyle. We have to be consistent when we realize that this is something that I'm going to do for the long haul. And so what's a realistic goal? How can I make this fun? How can I readjust my life to make this something that is sustainable? Maybe I need to spend less time thinking about where I want to finish and more time thinking about how I want to live this out in my life. In order for us to hold ourselves accountable, though, we have to be willing to expand our vision and our perspective and lean into God's faithfulness, God's vision for our life, because He is the only one who truly knows what tomorrow holds. I bet when Leanne Lemini found herself in South Africa starting this incredible organization called End Girl Hate that would eventually evolve into Life Designed by Her, that she had no idea that her life was going to take some twists and turns. One, it was going to grow and have more impact than she could have ever anticipated. And then she was going to relocate, leaving the work that she established there and moving literally to a different country and having to ask God, what do we do now? Could it be that God's taking it global? Could it be that consistency has little to do with me consistently staying the same, doing things the way that I've always done them, and everything to do with my commitment to consistently evolving? Leanne's going to share her story with us, and I promise you, you are going to experience the warmth of her light just by hearing her story and conversation. Little do you know that the rays of who she is are going to shine on the seed inside of you, and you too are going to learn to be consistent with holding yourself accountable to who God has called you to be, no matter where God has placed you. I can't wait to get into this, and low-key, I can't wait for us to go to South Africa now. Let's jump into it.
Hi!
How are you?
I'm so good. How are you, Pastor Sarah?
Amazing. Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. My heart is so happy.
Leanne, can you tell me, like, what's an area of your life where you've had to work to be more consistent?
Wow, Pastor Sarah, an area of my life where I really had to work, I think is doing what I currently do now. So I have a business called Life Designed by Her, but initially it started as an organization, an NGO called End Girl Hate. Mm. And just to kind of keep it going, I really had to push myself and get out of my comfort zone and really keep it going. So I think that would be one of the areas, just being consistent in the work that I do and motivating myself.
Now that's,
I hope I answered your question.
You did. It's crazy though, because most people think that, like, if I find my purpose, if I find the thing that I think will add value to the world, then I won't have to worry about being consistent because I'll be so passionate that the discipline will just come organically. And yet you found your passion and you had to work towards consistency. Why do you think you had to work towards it?
I think because there's such a huge responsibility that comes when you find your passion, and especially in the space that I'm in, just working with women and girls, and it's so people-centered. A lot of the times I'm very, all of my energy goes towards others, and I give and I give and I give. And a lot of the time I'm not receiving. So that would probably be one of the main reasons why I have to keep motivating myself and stay consistent, just because so much of what I do is giving and not really receiving. So I have to be very conscious of filling my cup in the process of serving others too.
So you had to learn to consistently receive.
Absolutely. And I'm very much a giver. So it's really hard, and it's something that I still struggle with, but I'm working on it.
Okay, so that's you get in people's business now, because I think people are like, I will accept this, like, I'm going to receive whatever help is coming my way, or I'm going to receive this support, this advice, but they really see it as like a one-off, like, I'm going to do it once and I won't have to do it over and over again. But the mindset of consistently being on the receiving end is not one that makes you helpless. It doesn't make you charity. It doesn't make you someone who is less capable of showing up in their life. life, it makes you someone who honors reciprocity because you're not the only one pouring. You've also learned to receive consistently. I need to learn how to receive consistently. I think I'm getting better. The more tired I get, the more I'm kind of like, please, somebody help me.
Yes, yes. I can totally relate to that. Because I think with the work that I've been doing, because I was doing so much of it by myself for such a huge amount of time, I was just exhausted and I was finding that I was dropping balls and I wasn't on top of it as much as I should have been. And that's when I said, okay, God, you know what? I need to start delegating and I need to reach out to the sisters who want to help me and who have the same heart as me. And when I did that, so much changed and a load was taken off my shoulders. So I pray that you can do the same and together we learn in this process.
Okay, so how did you overcome the reality that getting someone else to do it means they aren't going to do it the way that you did it? And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes is an exercise in releasing control and power because they may not do it the way that you want it done, but they get to train to learn how to do it better. Like, how did you release the control connected with that?
I think I was just too tired, like you. When you get to that point where you're like, you know what, I'm too tired, God. They're getting the message out there. Let's do this. But I think also when I connected with like-minded women who saw my heart and understood where I was coming from, I think a lot of the time they got the message. So they didn't always convey it or do the work the way I would have wanted to. But for me to be a part of putting the work out there and guiding them was good enough. And we got the message out and we did the work and it was beautiful. And the longer I've worked with them, I'm finding that they're getting better at doing what I do and speaking in my voice. So it's been amazing.
Wow. Okay. So that's helping me. I think that's a word for people who are gifted. If the people you bring on to help serve your vision could do it the way that you do it, it would not make what you do as unique. But you have an opportunity to train them so that they can bring their gifts and talents into the marination of what you're working on while also honoring the standard that you set. But I think there is this balance of recognizing that, like, if they could do it the way that I do it, then I would not be set apart. But because I need expansion, I have to be willing to release control and teach. And it sounds like you learned to do that.
Absolutely. And I definitely have. And it's been such a load off my shoulders and a gift to what I do as well in the business and just seeing LDH and End Girl Hate grow, because now there are more people on the ground. I have more women to speak with my voice and it's just not me putting the work out there. It's been incredible.
Okay, so why does someone start an organization called End Girl Hate?
So I have always had a heart for women and girls, even as a little girl. A lot of my friends will tell stories of how in primary school or high school, I always gravitated towards the girl who was kind of sitting alone in the corner or the new girl. And I just always wanted to embrace the girls and women who were new to our circle. And as I got older, that kind of stuck with me. I didn't realize it, but subconsciously I was already serving my purpose as a girl, as a little girl. And now as a woman, that is how End Girl Hate was born. I wanted women to feel like they belonged. I wanted girls to love one another, love on one another. And my message has always been, we don't have to be best friends, but we can be kind, we can be compassionate, and we can try to understand where the other girl is coming from. And that really is how End Girl Hate was born. I've got two daughters, and I really wanted my girls to be different and interact differently with girls growing up and their relationships with women later in their lives. And I wanted to be the change in the world, Pastor Sarah, even with just little me in this corner in South Africa doing what I do. But I knew that it's a message that so many women and girls needed to hear. And I really just started posting messages on social media with the hashtag End Girl Hate, hashtag Women for Women. And women took to it and they were like, how can we make this a tangible thing? How does end girl hate become real? Because there are so many women who want to belong and they just didn't have a place for it. And that's how it started.
Now, I have always thought that it was just specific to our culture, this idea that like girls don't get along or you women mm-hmm. can't put women in a room together without there being competition. Mm-hmm. But to know that this is a global dynamic that exists amongst connections with women is mm-hmm. both discouraging and exciting, because I think we have an mm-hmm. opportunity to really turn the tables. Did you have firsthand experience of receiving girl hate, or were you just wired to be sensitive to what that girl hate was doing in the lives of the young women that you were gravitating towards?
I think a big part of it is just my wiring. It's just how God made me. Yeah. Because even before I started experiencing relationships with women as I was older, like I said, I just always had that need to unite and get women and girls together. And I think as I got older, so my background is actually music. I started off in the music industry here in South Africa. And I remember walking into spaces, an event or a gig, and immediately you have everyone's eyes on you, like the women, and they're staring you up and down. And I wanted to just change that narrative just with my voice. Just with who I am, how I show up in spaces is a woman who loves you, who is light, who is happy, who is supportive. And yeah, that's really a big part of it. So it wasn't really anything that I experienced firsthand, but it was also just the situations that I was in and the environments. And I knew that I needed for it to be an environment of love rather than, yeah, the disconnect.
That's so interesting. I am a big proponent for women and connection and sisterhood now, but I have to mm-hmm. be honest, it is not something that was a part of my makeup. I think from the moment right. that I felt othered, even before right. I got pregnant, the moment that I felt different from other women, I saw other women constantly, in my perception anyway, I felt like women were right. constantly looking down on me or thinking I was the bad right. girl, I wasn't the good girl. And so I would give that energy before I could receive it.
Right.
It was my
right.
way of deflecting. And now that I know that that was deeply rooted in my own insecurity, my own fear of further rejection, I recognize that girl hate is not always, sometimes it is just someone who has a bad attitude, mm-hmm. but often I think it is yeah. really connected to insecurity. Do you think that there is an right. opportunity for us to hold up that type of mirror so that someone can see, like, the way that you are is hurtful to other women, and I wonder if it's because someone hurt you, and what can we do mm-hmm. to bring about healing?
Absolutely. I think it's very, very connected. And I think a big part of it is also self-esteem. So that is why with End Girl Hate, I go into schools and speak to girls about self-esteem and insecurity, because I believe that once you have that confidence within yourself and you are secure and you are stable and you are firm and grounded in knowing who you are, you don't have to take it out on the next girl and look down on the other woman. And so that I really do believe that our own insecurity, sometimes we're just projecting and it's whatever's happening within us and we're just taking it out on the other woman. But we need to change the narrative. We know better, we do better, right?
For sure. So how do you conquer your own insecurities when you, like, because in girl hate certainly I think has a lot to do with like one woman and another woman, but oftentimes right. that inner girl hate that we have for ourselves when our body right. is changing, our life is changing, how do we confront mm-hmm. the inner girl hate?
Wow. You're digging into the dirt, Pastor Sarah. So, I mean, I can relate to you on so many levels where you speak about not feeling worthy and imposter syndrome. And I don't really know when that switch happened for me, because I always felt like I was somewhat secure in who I was. But the bigger End Girl Hate and LDH, Life Designed by Her, became, the more I felt like I needed to kind of hide and dim my light. So I'm having to constantly speak the word of God over my life. And as a girl, a child of God, having to remind myself that I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. And this gift that God has given me is something that I need to protect and be proud of and put out there. So when I do have moments of feeling discouraged, I think about who I'm serving and really my mission. And the only thing I ever want to do is honor God. And that's really what pushes me and keeps me going. But I do have days where I'm like, Lord, why am I in this room? And I once heard you say, you're not always the loudest person in the room. And I could so relate, because sometimes, and that's where I have to hold myself accountable, because here I am speaking about women supporting women and I'm standing in the corner not speaking to anyone, you know? So it's been a lot of learning for me, but just encouraging myself and standing on the word of God, because I know who I am, I know whose I am, and my only mission is to honor him, and that's what drives me. And it my emotions and my feelings outweighs anything, or my need to serve God outweighs my emotions and my feelings. I just want to serve him and honor him and do what pleases him.
I don't know who this is for, but stay off Beyonce's internet self-diagnosing your symptoms. And sis, stop hitting up your friends for medical opinions. They don't know. You won't find quality medical advice in your group chat, but you can on ZocDoc. With thousands of medical professionals to choose from, I bet you receive the expert care you need. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun. When I'm on the road and in need of a healthcare provider, I rely on ZocDoc as a trusted guide to connect me to the highest quality of care. And sis, they get me right every time. Millions of people use the ZocDoc app as a quick and easy way to book and keep track of their appointments. So go and check them out. Go to ZocDoc.com/womanevolve and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/womanevolve. ZocDoc.com/womanevolve. Okay, so I have to ask you, you're beautiful. I don't think anyone with an accent that beautiful can even, like, I don't even know. Insecurity doesn't even sound, it doesn't sound like insecurity when it comes out of your mouth. It sounds like something very beautiful because of this accent and this beautiful face that you have, this beautiful spirit. But I recognize that oftentimes the women who are the most beautiful in spirit and connection have often become that beautiful because life threatened that beauty inside of them. And so when I look at your life and then I hear the words end girl hate, I think it speaks very much so to like that little girl. And so I wonder for a moment, can you take me back to little girl Leanne? And I want to know, like, what was your experience? What was your view of self, your view of God growing up? What was your childhood like? And how did you become this beautiful spirit over time?
So I was born and raised in a township called El Dorado Park here in Johannesburg, South Africa. I had a beautiful childhood. It was a very creative one. I was always a very creative child, so always singing and dancing around the house. My friends and I used to make up these shows and dance for anyone and everyone who would watch and watch us perform. My parents were incredible. My dad passed on 8 years ago, but my parents really were a huge support in, I think, the person that I am today, and just really laying the foundation for who Leanne is. I grew up in the church, started singing in the choir at 13. So I was the youngest choir member in my church, I think, ever. So I was singing in the church at 13 years old. Very, very, I wouldn't say religious, but we were spiritual, spirit-filled. And that is, I think, the foundation of my life, really. A very creative child, very happy. And it was beautiful. And later on in life, my parents, like I said, always encouraged me. And my mom decided to put me into the art school in Johannesburg. So I went to the National School of the Arts, where I first studied drama and then later went on to music. And that's kind of how I was introduced to the music industry. I started off as a backing vocalist for one of South Africa's huge artists, and then later on went on to record my own albums. But I think just all my interactions with people, my love for God, and just knowing who I am, being rooted in God, in that, and just, yeah, watching incredible women and listening to incredible women really motivates me to be the change and be the person that I am, where I am today. My life has really taken a 360 lately. My husband was offered a job in Dubai. So my husband and my children are actually there at the moment. I came home to South Africa for work this week. So I'm here currently, but I'm heading back next week. But I think when your topic came through and it was speaking about consistency, it was a reminder for me to just keep going, because I often wondered, like, God, you are moving me from the place where End Girl Hate started and where everyone is and where everyone knows me, and you're putting me into this foreign land and this new land with new people. But I believe that God's doing a new thing, and so I'm excited, and I know that End Girl Hate and his plans are bigger than just me and South Africa.
Yeah, it sounds like it's actually international, which I love. As you're talking, I can't help but think about Girl Evolve, which is a new expansion of Woman Evolve that we're introducing at conference, because we just are seeing the alarming stats about what's taking place with young girls. And then even hearing the stories of women and recognizing that most of our stories, our trauma, our issues, our insecurities that were confirmed started when we were young girls. And so if we can get to that girl level and begin to help and empower them at that age, we believe that it will make for much more successful women. Are you noticing as well that young women where you are experiencing more insecurity, more self-harm, more doubt, more fear, anxiety, mental health issues than I think we had growing up? It seems like it's just exponential.
Absolutely. And I think social media, the internet has a huge part to play in it. Even in South Africa, I see it. Girls are so consumed by what they're seeing. Everything is all about the way you look, your body, what other people are doing, how they're dressing. And we're not doing the inner work. It's all about aesthetics and the outside and the outside world. That is why it's so important for us as the aunts, the mothers, the uncles, the fathers to take responsibility and do the work now. That is why it's my mission to go out there and speak to girls and help them see their worth and change. And I, you do it one person at a time, one school at a time, one girl at a time, and it works. It pays off eventually.
That's so good. What I love about your story is that you had this beautiful childhood, this presence of God in a real spiritual way, not just religious, but a real spiritual way. And I think ultimately that exchange that you and God have been having since you were a little girl created such overflow for you to pour into others. And we need stories like yours. We need voices like yours, where we know from even a young age, even to now, about God's faithfulness and God's consistency, because I do think that it provides an opportunity to inspire others. Can you tell me, what do you think is the number one recurring obstacle that you recognize that girls are experiencing, and how do you give them tools to overcome it?
I think it would be low self-esteem. Girls don't believe that they are beautiful enough and that they are worthy enough. And I don't know if they're not getting that at home anymore, or they seek outside validation, but that is the one of the biggest things that I'm seeing with girls here. They don't feel that they're worthy. They don't see themselves as beautiful, especially, I know all across the world, it's like that for girls, but especially here in Africa, you know, we have this Western picture of what beauty is meant to be, and we don't see our own beauty the way it is. It is changing slowly but surely. And when you see girls, our beautiful African girls shining on screens like Tuson Bedu and Nomzamo Mbatha, and they're just beautiful and owning it, I think that is what our girls need to see more of. We need to see ourselves out there and know that we are beautiful, but also just speaking life into our children and speaking life into them. Yeah.
I'll tell you, one of the things that I have noticed over the last, I'll say maybe 5 to 7 years, is that particularly people on the continent of Africa have been more visible in not just media and arts and entertainment, but in business as well. And I believe that it's creating a new narrative for Africa. Absolutely. In a way that is empowering and intriguing to African Americans. What role do you think we have as brothers and sisters, though separated and on different continents, to really begin to work together to change the stereotypes, to change some of the impressions that exist about us and in our respective communities, and how can we work together to really bring healing and an emergence of intellect and wealth and knowledge and science and resources that I think really honor the shared roots that we have in common?
I am big on collaboration over everything. Collaboration for me trumps anything. So I think if we could collaborate more as women, brothers and sisters of color, as children of God, see how we can work together in our respective fields, see how we can help each other, how we can make it work, how I can get your message out there, how you can get my message out there. But collaboration for me is huge. So whichever way we can work together, whatever it is that we're doing, I think that is a big point that we need as brothers and sisters, and especially here in Africa. We just need for other people to also be our voice, because you know how good we are and what we can do, and that we're very capable. But we just sometimes need someone to speak for us too. So if we can have our American brothers and sisters be our voices too here in Africa, that would be incredible, and help share our stories. And likewise, because I feel like we see so many stories coming from the Western world, but no one really knows what we're doing here, and we're often sidelined. So if we could collaborate more, if we could share spaces and create more spaces where we can be together, that would be incredible.
Okay, you answered my question, because I was going to ask you, what is it that we have on this side of the world that you think would be helpful for what's happening on your side of the world? But since you answered that, I want to ask you a different question. So from the moment I started like blogging, speaking or whatever, South Africa became like, they were there. Like, I don't even understand how it happened or what it was. But like, even I don't think we post anything without someone being like, when are you coming to South Africa? You need to come to South Africa. And so I want to know, what do you think it is about Women Evolve? What do you think it is about the messages that we're sharing that is drawing the women of South Africa in a way that seems kind of like, I don't know, it seems large to me, the following that we have in South Africa, even though I'm not there and don't have any idea what life is like there. I've never been to the continent at all. And yet there's this deep connection. What do you think it is?
I think it is our hunger for God. We are just so hungry and expectant for more and more of Him. And I think very close to that is you, Pastor Sarah. It's just your message, the way you speak to us, the way you connect with women is like we have never seen before. And so I think It's you. It is your gift. It is what you carry that really connects with so many women here. Just the motivation that you give and the way you carry yourself, that gift that you have, the anointing that is on your life. As women in Africa, we can so relate because you speak to us and you connect to our hearts each and every single Sunday with every message and every word. We feel it. We hear it. We long to have it in person. And so we're just so hungry for more of God and just the work that he's doing in you.
I've always believed that like whatever it is that you admire about someone is really God showing you a reflection of what's inside of you. And so I think maybe part of that draw too is that the women in South Africa are coming to a stage in their life where they don't just want more of God. They also want to be the hands and feet of God. They want to believe that they can bring change with their gifts and talents. And so part of maybe what they're experiencing when they hear my message is really a clarion call from God saying, take your position, get in your spot.
Absolutely.
The time is now. And I want to help push as much as I can push, whether it's here or in South Africa. But I think ultimately it feels like for me very much so in the States that the tides are turning and that women, especially women of color, are beginning to take prominent positions in the kingdom, prominent positions in spaces of corporate America. And I think that it is the leveling of the playing fields so that real change and real establishing can take place.
Right. Absolutely. And the same is happening here in Africa. Women are taking the lead. We're not sitting back anymore. And we're realizing that we have a call on our lives. We have gifts. We can stand at the top. We can be in those boardrooms with men and be on par with them. We can stand on stages with men and sing and perform and be just as good as them. And so I think it really is happening in Africa. And I think now it's just us really honing in on that and tapping into that. And I know that for me, that's why I relate to you so much, because I realize that there is more and I need to get to that more, God. And so every week and every day, I'm just trying to figure out, how do I tap into that? What is next? Where, why, how, you know? And I think so many women feel like that too. We're not settling for safe anymore and just to sit on the sidelines. We realize that there's work to do and we have to get out there and do it.
Okay, so now that you're in Dubai and you're figuring out what does life, what does purpose, who am I in this season, what are some things that you are committed to holding on to? And what are some things that you're like, you know what, I'm going to have to release this, allow God to transform it, and then see what happens from there?
So I think really let me start with the releasing.
Okay.
Is everything that needs to happen here with End Girl Hate and with Life Designed by Her, delegating and handing over responsibility fully, and me just kind of saying what needs to be done and overseeing it. And now the new role that I'm trying to step into is seeing how we can take the message of LDH and End Girl Hate global. And I'm now in a whole new land. I'm literally in the desert and speaking the word of sisterhood, but more importantly, allowing them to see God in me, because that is all I want for people to see. Just see his love, see his light, and spread it no matter where I am. So yeah, really just making LDH a global platform as well as End Girl Hate, and seeing how it goes.
What do you think is like your biggest worry with this expansion?
My biggest worry currently is not being connected to the women that I am so very close with. So out of sight, out of mind. And I kind of feel when people feel like you're removed or you're not in the same space as them, You're no longer a part of them. So for me, it's just making sure that I am connected to my brothers and sisters here in South Africa, and that I always just have my heart is here, that they know that my heart is here, and that I will not leave, no one gets left behind, that we are still part of this community, and that we all belong. I think that's what my biggest worry is, that people don't feel like I have left or abandoned, but that we are just growing.
I think, man, I can relate to that in my own way, between moving back to Dallas, but even seeing Woman Evolve grow. And when Woman Evolve first started, you know, I was in the closet recording this podcast, and it was amazing for me. And I was moderating the comments and doing all of the things. And it is hard. I don't think people spend enough time talking about how difficult it is to grow, because you do lose some of the comfort and security that can only come with things being intimate. And it there's more exposure with growth. There's more opportunity for bigger mistakes when there's growth. And so I'm wondering, like, am I, when we talk about consistency, am I trying to be consistently who I was yesterday, or consistently open to grow, change, and transform? Because if I decide to be consistently who I was yesterday, then I do a disservice to how I am biologically made up. I wasn't created to stay the same. I'm supposed to be aging. I'm supposed to be growing and evolving. And so the commitment to evolving means that I am consistently going to be incrementally different, but also incrementally better. And I believe the people who are called to you, the people who are called to me, are going to go on that journey with us. And those who aren't have someone who's coming to meet them where they are until they can move to that stage. But that, I think, is one of the most challenging parts of choosing what to be consistent to when we see our lives are turning in a way that has increased connected to it.
Absolutely. And sometimes God's plans, well, always God's plans are always different to what we had for ourselves. So like you, I started off very small and still am quite small. And I always said, I never want to be on this big global platform because I want to be connected, and it's a more intimate and safe space. And the more time has gone by, God has just increased my territory and increased what we're doing. And so it's growing with that and realizing that we are evolving, right? Women, we grow, and God takes us to bigger and better, and you grow either together or you grow somewhere elsewhere. Do you know what I mean? You go elsewhere and someone else will meet you where you're at. But it is good to grow and change.
Leanne, I am wondering, who is the most influential woman who has helped you end girl hate?
The most influential woman who has helped me end girl hate, I think, would be my mother. She is the kindest person I know. My mom is all about love, and I think just seeing that in my home, seeing that with my mother, there was no other choice but for me to be like that. And I'm hoping that I pass that on to my children too, and I see it with them. Their grandmother's heart and her compassionate nature has definitely been passed on to them. So definitely my mom.
Beautiful. Well, what do you hope that she knows about the impact that she's had on your life?
I hope that she knows that she has been, if not the most influential woman in my life. I didn't grow up in a household where we spoke about emotions and feelings and were very affectionate. But I hope that she knows that she really is a big part of who I am today. And everything that I am, I really owe to her. So I thank her for raising me the way she has, for supporting me the way she has, and for still continuing to love me the way she does.
That's amazing. Thank you, Leanne. You have such a beautiful spirit. And I can't wait to collaborate more and more with you.
Yay. Thank you. I have a friend who actually bought me a ticket to Women Evolve. So I'm going to be there. She's coming from South Africa. I'll go from Dubai, but we will meet there and I will be there. I'm so excited.
And I'm going to put you to work. So just so you know,
please.
I'm glad you told me that.
Yes, please. I am here to work. I'm here to serve. I'm ready.
Thank you. It's been an honor talking to you.
Thank you, Pastor Sarah. Thank you so much. You are incredible. We love you. We honor you. You are such a gift. You're a treasure. And I pray that God just continues to increase and enlarge your territory and that He keeps you safe always. We love you so much.
Oh, I love you too. I received that. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Leanne, I am so grateful for the time that we spent together conversing about what it means to be a good woman to another woman and how we can take a moment to confront the inner girl hate that keeps us from celebrating other women. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly suggest you find a woman and just give her a compliment for no reason. You have no idea what type of inner girl hate she may have experienced or outer girl hate that she's up against, but one thing she can know for sure is that when she encounters you, the girl hate just ended. Spend your week celebrating and loving on all of the girls that come your way. And then next week, let's pour a little bit more into your cup. Make sure you rate and subscribe this podcast. Email us at podcast@womanevolve.com. Send us a video and let us know how you are ending girl hate. See you next week.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.